Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we're really on the verge of something great. Isn't that right, Bud E?
Sure, but why are you talking funny like that?
Must be the Guinness. It's an exciting time in the basement.
It really is.
Because it's the start of a series of episodes we're recording that we're calling on Rockin' the Suburbs, Bud Verge Week.
It's Bud Verge Week, people.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And I am Bud Verge.
There you go, Bud.
There he is.
Welcome, Bud.
I'm in the basement.
Bud, we got to know you from a podcast we used to do, and you discovered the podcast somehow and became a fan. You were like one of our first fans of the old show.
I think I was in real early. I think it was episode like a 6 or 5 or 4. It was real, real early.
And for me, it was kind of life-affirming. Like, okay, this guy seems pretty amazing, and he likes what we're doing, so we must be doing something right.
And you are a suburbanite like us, although you're on the other side of the river in the D.C. area.
I live in Maryland. Yes, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Do you want to talk about what you do for a living, or should that not be disclosed?
I work for a Major League Baseball team that just happens to be in the state of Maryland.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
That's close enough. I think our listeners can put two and two together.
Which is a really cool job.
It's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. You get to hang out at the ballpark.
Every day. It's just like you see it on ESPN. The players are like in the lunchroom in their uniforms. No, they're not.
In the lunchroom. Yeah.
Nothing like that. Yeah.
No, but you like take care of like the, you oversee like the grounds crew and stuff like that?
No, it's more the
operations.
It's more of a fan service.
You're doing trades.
Yeah, trades. Right.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, on the phone. I'm signing the big contracts. I'm handing out the money.
That's right. There you go. Okay.
Earl Weaver's tomato plants.
No, you have a job like Costanza. Like nobody really knows what you do. You sleep under your desk sometimes.
I make the trains run on time. Let's just say that when we're ready to have a ball game, we're fully staffed and ready to go.
Okay. All right. That's good. And we're excited. We like the O's. We want the O's to do well.
Absolutely.
I believe I had you guys up for a game last year.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Yes. Went extra innings. I bailed out, but you guys stuck it through and we ended up winning.
We did.
So, Bud, the thing that we really liked and appreciated about your being a fan of the goofy stuff we talk about is that you seem to have a lot of the same interests.
Well, it just seemed like I was listening to the podcast. I kind of grew up with the same things that you guys grew up with.
Yep.
I mean, we grew up in the suburbs. We listened to music in the back of our mom's car. We listened to bad 70s music. Somewhere along the lines, we, you know, smarted up and started listening to some good music. And then we went away to school and our, you know, horizons expanded even more. And then we probably, you know, left where we grew up and came somewhere else and, you know, had to make a way for yourself and find people of, you know, similar interests.
You grew up in Massachusetts?
Grew up in Western Massachusetts, the middle of nowhere.
Oh, Western Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that like?
It was like Shangri-La growing up. I grew up in a really small town called Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We had about 40 or 50,000 people, and it was a factory town. General Electric was there. My dad worked for General Electric, and it was a great place to grow up. You know, I had a couple brothers and sisters, and, you know, we wanted for nothing. You know, dad took care of everything. But, you know, that came at a price. You had to work a whole lot. There's a lot of overtime, a lot of times not, you know, dad's not around. You know, dad doesn't come to the games. Dad's not really interested in what you're doing because he's working because, you know, Catholic school education, tuition costs money. And, you know, the new slot car racing thing costs money. And so it was a great place to grow up. It was about an hour from Albany and probably about an hour from Springfield, Massachusetts. But if you wanted to hop on a bus, you know, when you're old enough to sneak away from your parents, you could be in New York City in 3 hours. You could be in Boston in 2.5 and you can spend the whole day there and hop back on the bus and be home before they ever noticed you were gone. It's a great place to grow up. We head back and see our parents probably about once a year, and it's good to spend a couple days there. It's very rich in the arts. The Williamstown Theater Festival's up there. The kind of some good music, Tanglewood's up there. They do a lot of the symphony. They do some popular artists, but it's not a place where you'd want to live anymore.
Okay, so what was the music scene like when you were growing up? What stuff were you into? Were you just mostly buying records, or were you going to see shows, or what was that like for you growing up there?
In Pittsfield, we really got two radio stations. One was the local top 40 station, WBEC Live 105. And the other station we got was out of Albany, was an album-oriented rock station.
Nice.
It was called Pix 106,
okay.
WPYX, 106 on your radio dial. So you really only got two stations.
Right.
So you had to choose. When you were
which
about
way you're going to go.
12 or 13, which way you were going to go.
Yeah.
So that puts it about 1978, 1979, which was like the heyday of like FM radio.
Oh yeah, right? Man.
Like they had that bad movie FM. It was horrible.
Did they play a lot of Boston in Massachusetts?
Oh, they played some, although we didn't get that much from the east side of the state. Although there was a station in Springfield called Wacky 102. That was, if the wind blew the right way on a clear sunny day, you might be able to get it.
Get it for a couple hours.
Yeah. So I would sit in front of my mom's big console stereo system, which had the speakers built in and the place to put the records.
Love it.
And you know, you flip the top and you put the album in top, and we had these big headphones that were like 10 pounds. They were like humongous on your head, and I would just sit there in front of the stereo and just plug the big headphone jack in and just, you know, tune the dial to wherever station could, you know, go in. Or I would, you know, occasionally like see what album she had left over from the 60s. My mom was big into the Beatles.
Okay.
Pretty young when she had me, so she was still in the Beatles and still into pop music. Mm-hmm. So I would open the record cabinet, and there were all the early Beatles records, all the early Mamas and Papas records. She never really went for the hard stuff, but there were some Beach Boys records in there, and there was enough to, you know, open your mind a little bit when you're, you know, anywhere from, you know, 8 to 12 years old. But the music situation in Pittsfield, Massachusetts was really not very much. We had a couple of roadhouses. We had a Woody's Roadhouse. It was up on Route 8 in Washington. That had, you know, you go see all the Southern rock you wanted to see there.
Nice.
I moseyed into Woody's once or twice, but really, if you wanted to see a show, once, you know, you turned 16 or 17, you got your license, you were mobile, you could go where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we would hop in my friend's conversion van and we would drive to Springfield, or we would drive to Hartford, or we would drive to Albany, to see the big shows at, you know, the civic centers and everything. It really wasn't very much getting into clubs at that point because the whole drinking age was still 18.
Yep.
We were grandfathered in some states and not grandfathered in some other states. In Massachusetts, you weren't allowed in. So,
okay. And then when you went off to college, did that sort of change your musical appreciation or landscape? Or
I think what really changed my musical appreciation was about halfway through school, I changed from going from the public school to Catholic school. And there was a lot more folks that were into different types of music. I think like 81, 82, I met some friends. They were really into ska and the Police. So I got into all that two-tone stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what was great about going to the schools, we were right in the middle of downtown Pittsfield, and I didn't have to take the bus home. So I was able to, you know, walk up and down North Street, you know, fancy name for the main road. And we had, you know, literally 3 or 4 decent record stores in town. We had a couple good bookstores that had great magazines. So we would stop in all these places as we walked from school down to Park Square. We would catch the public bus home, you know, stop in all these places and buy the magazines. And, you know, whether it was Trouser Press magazine or Rolling Stone or, you know, all different types of things, or stop at the record stores and not be able to afford anything, but look at all the covers, you know.
That's
just
right.
Leaf through. That's really kind of what opened up my mind. And, you know, I got my first subscription to Rolling Stone magazine when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you feel like a little bit of a rebel because, you know, it's Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
You know, and here it is, 1981. You know, there's good stories in there. You know, you get weirded out by Hunter S. Thompson.
That's right. It was still pretty good at that point.
It was good.
Yeah.
Part of when I went to UMass, and that really kind of exploded because you've got so many more kids there and
Absolutely.
So many different types of music to listen to. So that's kind of when it went. And I think my freshman year, there was a really bad band that played in the dorm next to us. I think one of the guys' name was Black Francis. I think the other one was the drummer.
Really?
Is that Joey Santiago? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could hear them practicing while we were out, you know.
Is that right?
Playing Ultimate. So
that's pretty
amazing.
Know,
UMass and Northampton had a bit of a scene from the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah,
you would have rather hung out with Kim Deal, though.
She didn't go to UMass.
No. She was from Dayton. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
But they did a song called UMass.
They
did. That was on their last album before they broke up and came back, yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a short break here. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear some other words, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to reveal Bud's favorite song of 2016. Are you ready? Do you have that picked yet?
I've got it narrowed down.
I can't wait to hear what it is.
You got a minute, okay?
Got it.
All right. Hey, Patrick, how do you get your podcasts?
I usually get them on my telephone.
Telephone, like somebody calls you?
That's right. I call the podcast hotline and subscribe to them that way.
Okay, so most people don't have a landline or a flip phone like you. Oh, they have a smartphone. And yeah. So they go to iTunes or Audio Boom, mm-hmm. and they can subscribe to the show.
Smart.
And that way they just automatically get the show on their phone.
Smartphone.
Right?
Yep.
And if you please would do that for Rock in the Suburbs, that would help us out immensely.
Immensely.
Yes. And then the other thing you can do, dear listeners, that would really help us out would be to rate and review the show. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you like it because you're listening to it. So you would give us a high rating. There's like up to 5 stars, but you should give us 6.
Yep.
And then review it where you actually like, you know, craft in your own words what you think of the show.
I write reviews really well when I'm having a grilled cheese sandwich. What? So I'd recommend making a grilled cheese, reviewing the show. That's an evening.
All right. That sounds good. So do that. Take Patrick's advice. Do that. Okay, and we're back in the basement, back with Patrick and Bud. Bud was telling us a little bit about his musical upbringing and different, his interest from when he was much younger. But now we're going to talk about more current music. So we've been doing this little series, occasional series on Rock in the Suburbs throughout the month, where people have told us about their favorite song of 2016. And what would that be for you?
Tribe Called Quest, We the People.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
Why don't we hear that, and then you can talk a little bit about it.
All you black folks, you must go. All you Mexicans, you must go. And all you poor folks, you must go. Muslims and gays, boy, we hate your ways. So all you bad folks, you must go.
The fog and the smog of the media, the logs, false narratives of gods that came up against the odds. We're not just the rappers with the bars. We got to Missy Smitten rubbing on a little kitten, dreaming of a world that's equal for women with no division. Boy, I tell you, that's vision. Like Tony Romo when he hit and with it. To try and be the best in a division. Shaheed Muhammad cut it with precision. Who can come back years later?
Were you a fan of Tribe back in the day?
I go way back with Tribe.
Okay.
First record, People's Instinctive Rhythms of Travel. It was a great record.
It's an amazing record.
Left my wallet in El Segundo. Push it along. All sorts of great. Bonita Applebaum. Then they had the great second record where they played with an actual live jazz band, which, you know, because you have trouble clearing samples, why not just play the music yourself?
Right. Which influenced a lot of people. That was a big
That
was a big move. Like Diggable Planets and a lot of other people picked up on that actual concept. Yeah.
And yeah, Check the Rhyme was the big song off of that one. And they had a third record that came out probably about 1994, which had a Ward tour on it, Electric Relaxation. And then they kind of, you know, got in a little bit of fight. There was a good documentary about Tribe Called Quest that was out that I think Michael Rapaport put together. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, you know, well, Fife Dog passed away, you know, R.I.P. Fife.
That's right.
And thought, you know, Tribe would never get back together, but somehow they got back together. They cut in some old raps from Fife, and next thing you know, this thing just dropped, right? Either right before the election or right after the election.
Right around that time.
The country wasn't feeling so great. A lot of people weren't feeling so great. And they came on Saturday Night Live the night that
Dave Chappelle
was on, and they just blew it away. I mean, usually SNL, I fast forward through all the musical guests because I usually don't care about them, but Tribe was the one that, you know, stick around. And it blew my mind, and it stayed with me for the last, you know, 6 or 7, 8 weeks of the year. It's a great song.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So the record is We Got It From Here. Thank you for your service.
And it's kind of rare that a band takes that much time off and then comes back with a great record.
Yeah.
You know, that just
very unusual.
Doesn't happen.
Right.
Like I would say that's not really happened with the Pixies, for example.
Right.
No. So
or Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, a classic example of that. So I think people, you know, were fans of Tribe were really excited about this, that it was as good as it ended up being.
Right.
And then with the whole issue with Fife Dog and everything too, especially so. Yeah.
And I think the chorus of the song really drives home the point of, you know, some of the feeling that we have right here in the country. It's not 100% all together. There's this feeling that some people don't feel included where they should feel included. So I think the chorus really kind of hits home.
Yeah. All right. Cool pick.
Thank you.
I like
it. Cool pick.
All right. So here's the deal. We said this is Bud Verge week.
Mm-hmm.
Although the listeners, you're going to have to take just a little break because tomorrow's episode, Bud will not be on. It's going to be me and Patrick talking about our favorite songs of 2016 because it's the last day of January. And so
that's
I wanted
right.
to do that there.
I want to get that out of the way.
We already pre-recorded that. So sorry, Bud.
But that's okay.
Budbird Week just started, and already there's a disruption.
There's an interruption.
We need you to come back on Wednesday.
Okay? I can be here.
So can you do that? Yeah. You take tomorrow off.
Be great.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
Cool.
And then Budbird Week will continue. We'll talk about more
fun
stuff.
It's going to be great. All right. And then we'll have Bud later. He's earned a credit, so we'll have him back for another week.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Don't promise too much yet. All right.
That's right.
So listen to Rock in the Suburbs every day. That was your line. Sorry.
Yes.
I stepped on it. On iTunes or Audio Boom. And also you can email the show. You can tell us what you like, what you don't like. Mostly tell us what you like. It's at suburbspod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook at suburbspod. And you can also call the Suburban Party Line.
That's right. That's what it is.
It is
612-440-1984.
Call that, leave a message, leave your voice on the on the line. Leave a message, and then maybe we'll build a show around your comments.
Could do it.
That'd be great. Okay, I'm Jim Lenihan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And tomorrow, our favorite songs of 2016. It's exciting.